The epistle for the first Sunday after Pentecost, which is the feast of the Most Holy Trinity, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? For of him, and by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. So just a couple of announcements. First of all, I would like to extend the congratulations to those who are celebrating some significant wedding anniversaries. Of course, yesterday was the 50th anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Conrad and Alice Chekis. And then this coming Wednesday, there are three 25th wedding anniversaries, that of Mr. and Mrs. McDermott, Mr. and Mrs. Barry, and Mr. and Mrs. Ballard. So do extend to them your congratulations, and we congratulate you and thank you for your service, not only to your families, but to the parish, to the church, and to God. Also, this coming Friday will be the final pickup drop-off for the school. So the report cards and any graded assignments will be available for the parents to come pick up. So between 9 o'clock and 11, please see the bulletin about that. And for any other announcements, please also take a bulletin and see there. I don't have one with me, so I don't think there was a, but please do check the bulletin. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the one true God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate this glorious feast, the feast of God as he is in himself, this great mystery of our faith, the Holy Trinity. We know the truth of this sublime mystery by faith, and we know that we can only know it by faith. We know that it is a supernatural mystery, which means that if God had not told it to us, we could not have figured it out on our own. Yes, this mystery is something which is revealed by God. It's something which we cannot fully comprehend or have come to a knowledge to on our own. But God, from the very beginning, has begun to teach us and has taught us this truth, not fully in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ has laid it out for us very clearly. There were some hints of that God revealed in God's revelation in the Old Testament. Indeed, from that very day in which man was created, that sixth day of creation, when God made man to his image and likeness, he says, "Let us make man." And then the prophet Isaiah, he speaks, of God and his prayer to God. And, he says, "Holy, holy, holy," this triple holy, again, for the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. But certainly the prophets of the Old Testament, at least the greatest of them, certainly would have had some knowledge of this Blessed Trinity, but it was not then clearly professed. But when the second person of the Blessed Trinity was sent into the world, when he joined to himself a human nature in his person and came into the world, he taught this truth with all of its glory. And since we have the Word of God himself, there, even though we cannot fully grasp it, there can be no doubt of the truth of it. For he has told us in the Gospel today to go forth and to baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And he has also told us that there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. But perhaps even better for us is the way in which the three persons have manifested themselves to us by the way in which they came into the world, or the way in which especially our Lord and the Holy Ghost have come into the world. Our Lord, we know when He was on earth, He taught us not only by His words, but by His actions. You know, so very often, the miracles which He works, they are all leading up to, they are all directed towards the teaching that He is giving at the time, the truths that He is trying to convey. And of course, every action of His is something which we are meant to learn from. He came as a model as much as a teacher. But we can see too this mystery of the Trinity, the processions within the Trinity, the Father begetting the Son, and the Father and the Son together spirating or producing the Holy Ghost, in the way in which our Lord and the Holy Ghost have come into the world. The Father, firstly, is not sent into the world. Just as in the Trinity, He does not proceed from any other person. He is the unbegotten. He is the principle. The Son is begotten by the Father. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, was sent by the Father into the world. As the Father has sent me, so I send you, our Lord told us. It was the Father who had sent Him. My meat is to do the will of Him who sent me, to do the will of His Father. That was, our Lord was sent by the Father into the world. And that we know that once our Lord ascended into heaven, the Holy Ghost has come. He was sent. But our Lord said that unless He went back to the Father, the Holy Ghost would not come. He would not be sent. For the Father and the Son send the Holy Ghost together. It was when our Lord returned to heaven that the Holy Ghost was then sent in by these two. And this is an image of the processions in the Trinity, with the exception that in the Trinity there is no time. Our Lord came and the Holy Ghost came at different times, whereas in the Trinity, all of these things happen from all eternity. They are happening now as they have always been and always will be. The Father, unbegotten, begets a Son, and the love between the Father and the Son together spirates or breathes forth the Holy Ghost. This is, as said, the great truth, the greatest truth of our faith, the most sublime mystery. The danger when we speak like that, though, about the Trinity, when we speak of the greatness of this mystery, which certainly it has, is that because it's so high, so ennoble by us in itself, that we tend to perhaps neglect this truth. We think of the Trinity and we say, well, it's a mystery. And that's sometimes the danger is that would be as far as we go. Now, we know the Council of Trent tells us that a curious inquiry can be dangerous. And that is not what we are looking for. But we mustn't just think of it only as it's a mystery and then not spend any more time on it. Or else, to quote my dogma professor, he would say, in that case, it will be more of a mystery for some than for others. We must not just think of the Trinity as a triangle sitting on a cloud. Indeed, we use the triangle, we use the shamrock, we use all of these analogies, which are good because they help us to see, to help us to have some understanding of it, and they help us to come to an idea of what this truth revealed by God means. But we must remain that the truth of it, though, is much something far above these. And this is what, you know, we are meant to do, to come to a knowledge of God. We know that we were created to know God, that we learn in our first grade catechism, and that God has made it impossible for us to know Him. But what does this knowledge of God consist in? How are we to know God? What does it mean to know God? To borrow an idea from Father Lean, he would say that we must be careful not to confuse knowing God and knowing facts about God, or knowing just truths about God. There are three persons in God, and we are meant to know them, to know the persons. What does it mean to know a person? If you take a sports card, a baseball card, or a card of a football player, you can learn many things about them. You can know many facts about them. Perhaps, you know, their age, their birth date, the lengths of their arms, all of these sorts of things. But yet if someone asked you, do you know that person? Well, you would say no. You may know all of these things about them, their hobbies, their, you know, all of these different, whatever it might be. But you do not know the person because you are not associated with them. You do not have that intimate connection with them, which comes from knowing a person. We must be careful not only to know facts about God, but to try to be intimately associated with the three persons, to be aware of their personalities, to grow in our understanding of them. And the way in which we grow in the knowledge of a person is what we see in friendship. When we become to know someone, we become to know their tastes, their likes, their desires, their thoughts. You know, sometimes we can know what they're thinking, even without them speaking. This is the way in which we want to come to know the persons of the Blessed Trinity. It's especially true, you know, we have those who are married. You know, they spend, you know, 50 years, 25 years with a spouse, yet still I'm sure they will tell you that there are things that they learn even still today about that person that they did not know before. And that from a finite person. So there is definitely no limit to what we can come to know, what we can come to learn about the three persons in the Blessed Trinity. God has given us also a help to know the persons of the Trinity, their personalities. And this is what we call appropriation. We know that there are three persons in one nature. And so we know that whatever is an act of the divine nature is an action which is done by the three persons, because it's done by the nature, and all three share that same one nature. But so anything done outside of the Trinity itself is a work of all three persons. But in order to help us to have an understanding of the three persons, in order to come to know their personality, to know them in their persons, certain works have been appropriated to the different persons. To the Father, who is unbegotten and who begets, is appropriated all the works of power. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. This great, you know, visible manifestation of God's power, that is creation, is appropriated to the Father, because, you know, we want to think of him, St. Thomas, as not just as an old man without power, you know, but he is rather the Father with all power. And to the Son, the divine Word, you know, he who is the perfect image of the Father, to him is appropriated all the acts of wisdom, the order, the governing, the judging, the judgment. All of these things which require wisdom are appropriated to the Son. And to the Holy Ghost, who is the love of God, you know, this, again, a perfect God the Father, all goodness, God the Son, the perfect image of that goodness, these two beholding them each other. It produces such love. Whenever we see something good, we love it. But there is such a perfect love between them that they breathe forth the third person of the Holy Ghost. And so in order to help us to see this personality of love, which the Holy Ghost is, we appropriate to him all the acts of goodness, all the acts of love. Believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Ghost. Yes, the Holy Ghost, you know, this act of conception, this act of sanctification, this act of goodness of God by which we were to be redeemed, you know, the sanctification of our souls, this is all appropriated to the Holy Ghost, so that we can come, as I said, to know, to see, to remember that these three persons sharing one nature, yet they are still distinct. And we to try to come to know them in order to draw closer, to have this intimate association with them. Today on this feast, this is what we must ask for, an increase of a true knowledge of God, to receive an increase in the association of ourself with the three persons, that we may become more close to them, that we may become more aware of them in our daily lives. This is the way in which we will begin our heaven, even here on earth. When we are baptized, we are plunged, so to speak, into the divinity. Again, another quote from Father Lean, that we receive a participation in the divine nature. We share, to some degree, this with them. We have to come to have that to grow, to come closer, to fulfill it in our life. The saints grow in this divine life. They grow in this awareness. They grow in this appreciation of the Trinity throughout their lives, and that's what leads to their holiness, to their sanctity, to their joy. To know the one true God and to have life in him, this is what we seek. That is the source of happiness. That is what so many saints have done. You know, we have saints, or at least blessed, the Blessed Elizabeth of the Holy Trinity, whose writings on the Holy Trinity far surpass many theologians, and yet she had never really done an in-depth study of theology. Yet she had come through her awareness, through her closeness, drawing near to the Trinity, through the knowledge which she obtained of their persons. She was able to write in such a way that they could only admire. And of course, you know, we can ask also our Blessed Mother, Our Lady, who is the most closely associated with all three persons. Because of her work in the Incarnation, her work in the Redemption, she is associated with them above all. So today, this is what we are asking for, that the God who has revealed himself to us, that we may come to know him, to know the truths about him, and that these truths may lead us to a closer union with him, so that we may begin to grow in our friendship and in our experience with him in this life and forever in eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.